All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, it is Thursday, which means we are digging deeper into the Psalms. And this week, we inch ever closer to that grand, longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. This week, we get the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117. And then next week, we have the middle chapter in the Protestant Bible, Psalm 118. And next week we will talk about how wonderful it is, how that truly is a central chapter in the Bible, as we talk about what is most important in this life. But this week we get Psalms 116 and 117 to look at. So Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So far, Psalm 116. Psalm 116 is one of those versatile psalms. It is one where the beginning of it is many times read as I am doing visits with members who are either shut in or in the hospital, talking about God inclining his ear to our pleas for mercy. And many times it is those who are homebound, that cannot get out, that cannot be with their brothers and sisters in worship, or those who are in the hospital who are either awaiting surgery or recovering from surgery, or they don't even know what's going on yet. The words are comforting. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. No matter what situation you are in, no matter how much pain, how much turmoil, how much trial you are facing, you can call on the name of the Lord. You can call out in faith. Why? Verses 5 and 6. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. As Americans, we tend to think that we can do everything ourselves. The old adage, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That is the way the sinful nature works. We can do all of this ourselves. If we need saving, we can do it ourselves. We don't need grace and mercy. We can make our own righteousness. And we definitely don't need to be simple. But again, as we will see coming up this coming Monday on the Confessional Corner, Luther talking about making himself simple, making himself a child and a pupil of the Catechism, because you cannot completely fathom all the depths that there is in each of the parts of the catechism. Try as we might, even on this podcast, we will not do justice to trying to make a full and completely done study of any of it. But we will dig into it. We will bring out something of worth and value. Maybe it's something you've thought of before. Maybe it's something you haven't thought of before. But that is the wonderfulness of the scriptures and of the catechism, especially, that there's always something else that doesn't strike you then as it does now. Because circumstances in our lives change. Our experiences change. We change. But the word of the Lord does not change. God does not change. And God has always been so multifaceted, so deep in understanding and knowledge that no human brain, regardless of what you do to it, how much of it that you use, or how many computers you plug it up to just feed in information, you will never get all of it. And that honest truth right there is what should bring you to being simple. Because God preserves the simple. He doesn't go for and save the people who think they have it all together. He comes for those who are broken. We go on at the last part of the psalm, and we have the words that come to us in the offertory in Divine Services, setting 1 and 2 in the Lutheran Service Book. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What can I possibly give that even begins to pale favorably in comparison to what God has given to us? Regardless of the amount of money we put in the offering plate, it's still a pittance. It is still simply a small token of all the blessings that God has given to us. Because we understand that we need His grace. We need His mercy. We need His righteousness. We need His preservation in this life. And you can't put prices on those things. And so we give but a token of what He has given to us. And all we can do is exactly what He tells us to do. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will lift up the cup with His body and with His blood in it, shed on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And that will empower me to help pay my vows that I have made to the Lord. And that vow may even be your own life being taken from you. That vow might even be being willing to die, as we promise in our confirmation vows, instead of walking away from the truth of the scriptures. And how can we make such a promise? Verse 15. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We live in a world that does not see death as precious. It sees death as a commodity. It sees death as a necessity. It sees death as something that should serve us and our needs, instead of us being in dreadful fear of it. But again, those who try to overcome and rule over death do so because they are so scared and frightened of death. But what does God say? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Which is why we have so many wonderful hymns that talk about not being afraid of death, that death we can see as warm and comfortable as our bed, because we know by faith in Christ that we will wake up from our death when Jesus comes back to call us to be with him, and we will be there rejoicing with him forever. That is what is precious in God's sight about the death of his saints. So we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, our songs and hymns and prayers, everything we do in worship. These are the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Calling upon the name of the Lord, paying our vows, fulfilling our promises as God strengthens us to do. This is what we do in the Christian life. Now we move to Psalm 117. Very short, very quick on this. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Why do we have such a short psalm? Why is this kept in there? Because it doesn't say anything new that none of the other psalms say. It doesn't come up with anything that is not somewhere else described in Scripture. My personal thought is it's an ancient Israelite creed. Maybe one that was taught to the children very early on along with the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The encouragement to praise the Lord, all people. For his steadfast love endures forever. We can praise the Lord because he loves us. There is no other reason for us to do that. There is no other circumstance for us to praise the Lord except for the fact that his steadfast love, which is all wrapped up in his grace and mercy, that all these things are ours in Christ, by faith in him. That is why we praise the Lord. That is why we come to worship, because we want to praise God. It's not, I have to go to church. I get to go to church. And that is the thing that so many people lose sight of. Church attendance is not a requirement that hangs over our head as a burden for us to hopefully get into heaven one day. If so, you know, those people who have been in nursing homes and who have been homebound for decades might be in serious trouble because they cannot get there. But that is not what God says. God says, praise me. Because of my steadfast love, my grace and my mercy that I have shown to you. Praise me so that we might all understand that it is truly he who brings us through every day. He is the one who carries us through every trial, every temptation, bringing us out on the other side because of our faith in him. And the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, poured out over us in baptism, poured down our throats in Holy Communion, along with his body, given to us for the forgiveness of our sins, because his steadfast love endures forever. That is the reason we worship. That is the reason we come together. Not because we have to, but because we get to. We get the opportunity to pray, praise, and give thanks. And that is, truly in the end, all we can do in this life. There is nothing we can do to repay what God has given to us. We can simply turn to him and say thank you. And that is exactly what the historic liturgy has done for millennia, is to give thanks to God. All right, that's it for this week. Next week, we do look at that pivotal chapter in Psalm 118, the middle chapter of the Bible, to see again that his steadfast love endures forever, and that his steadfast love is given to you, so that you may know that regardless of the trials and temptations and the theologies around you, you are able to wrestle with them, and you are able to overcome through Christ. Amen.